Any question, reflection kind of things do we have? Great. I love too many. Okay, great. Okay, so is there anyone who just raised their hand who hasn't asked a question in the last couple of days? Yes, please. Hebrew is fine also. Just so you know. I might have understood, but if you can repeat the question.
I'll check the mic first. Yeah, good.
You think you could?
Yoter gavoa.
You're saying, could you move it a bit closer? Let's try. How's this?
Ech ze? Yoter tov? Mespik tov?
I'm not sure it's coming at all.
Is it Ken? Yeah, it is coming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay. It is coming. Okay. So the question, reflection is, I could get a sense, as you were describing, I could get a sense of things I could get a sense of things kind of losing or loosening the form, as you were describing. And yet there remained a sense of connection to things. And wondering if you could say a little bit about that sense of connectivity or connection to things.
Yeah, and so it's quite alive, the connection.
Mm-hmm. And their connection felt quite alive. Yeah.
Yeah, so you may remember that we... not sure how you translated into Hebrew the hindrances.
Does it? Michsholim.
Yeah, like things that get in the way of what? Of freedom. Okay. Now, if you think of this, is not what's happening, but like an example, like a river is trying to flow, but it's got loads of stuff in it, and you go and do your service to nature, and you clear it out so that the river can kind of flow. Then initially, when you clear it out, the flow, it's like, whoa, you know, what was held back flows through with a lot, big gush of energy. But then it goes calm again. Yeah. So sometimes this kind of thing is like, oh, there's something hindered, something blocked, something held back. I don't know what it is. I don't know how I'm holding it back. And then I bring in a practice or a conception, a subtleness or whatever, and it can kind of open out things. And so it seems kind of like one of the experiences initially, or like in any moment when something is released, it's like, whoa, and it kind of flows through. Later, it might not flow through, but it still might be the same goodness and nourishment and enjoyment, you know. So even a little more freedom is also fabricated, and this is what's kind of interesting to see, in different ways according to, you know, loads of stuff, including like what I just ate, but also, you know, how I've been behaving for the last, you know, years, who knows, even maybe lifetimes. I have no idea if that stuff affects us or not. So, but what we're looking for is this, holding this space, understanding that what I do matters, and anything that then remains is also still fabricated. And so just stretching out beyond what we already talked about is that we might get somewhere and think, oh, this is unfabricated, right? What it means is this is subtler than where I've been before. But we might notice there's still a sense of it is happening. Yeah, it's happening, and it's happening in time. So time is being fabricated, the sense of time is being fabricated, or I am perceiving this, the sense of perception, also the sense of perceiver. You know, and it's like subtly, those things through the practice may just dissolve by themselves. We may need to investigate how they come into being, how they are empty, and that supports them to dissolve. So I hope that kind of responds both practically to what your question was and also maybe what it points out as well.
I'm just going to
resist
adding something, even though we need to be brief.
You can say in Hebrew if you want. Maybe you
want to. אני יכולה בעברית. היה נשמע כשתארת את החוויה שהיה בה משהו מפעים. כן, זה מה שחשבתי. אז הייתי אומרת ככה, הדברים שנייתן אמר ככה, לתת להם גם להצטרף למופעמות הזאת, אבל גם באותה מידה לא למהר. הידיעה שיש עוד דרך יכולה לתמוך בנו, אבל גם יש חשיבות ויש ערך לחוש, כן, ולהישאר ולהכיר את המקום הזה שנפעם, שיש בזה הרבה מהלמידה. והייתי אומרת גם ככה שמאוד יכול להיות שחלק ממה שקורה זה שהמרחב הזה נצבע בתחושה של חיבור גם בגלל מה שאנחנו עושות כבר 9 ימים, שזה לתרגל מטה, כן? וזה מראה לנו איך אנחנו המגמישות התודעה וגם מפתחות איזושהי דרך הסתכלות שעולה באופן טבעי במגע עם דברים. איך זה נשמע?
I was just adding that also the fact that we've been practicing metta,
okay,
is kind of can be part of what then fabricates,
right,
or defabricates into a metta experience.
Lovely.
So seeing that connection and to enjoy, also not to rush onwards, but to actually get
Lovely.
To know that state. Okay. עוד מישהו מישהי שלא שאלו שאלה בימים האחרונים. Ken, Johnny.
My question is in 7 parts.
Okay.
First, just to say this was trippy. Mm. My hands and face get huge, heavy, I don't know what it was, but trippy. Now for the question. I've been trying to learn Anicca. And so I've been doing a host of fly on your face meditation for the past couple of days.
Nice.
And one memorable time, host of fly on your very interesting. And I've noticed something about perception that's maybe not like a glass slate, more like sand. There's an impression. There's an after image. And the same is true for flies and for sounds. So someone assigned to themselves in... I'll start with the fly, sorry. It's hard to know when the fly is off your face.
Right.
There's an after image. You feel it. You still feel it on your lips after it's gone.
Mm.
Sorry for being assassin. And the same is true for sounds. Someone sighing to herself in contentment.
Yeah.
So you feel your heart expand.
Mm.
And a sound is annoying or very sudden and loud. You feel this contraction. And it's left after the sound, after the
right.
Tufa.
The appearance of the phenomena.
Yeah. It is not.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, first, why? And second, it does feel like a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
In trying to understand what the nature of it is.
Right. Beautiful.
Also, thank you for
the shout-out for such things as fish. Great. So, I'll summarize what I think maybe is like the most important thing is like we're practicing with kind of lessening the aversion to things which aren't always seen immediately as pleasant, like the fly landing on the face, or even crawling in the ear. But also noticing this is Anicca, and that's been kind of a helpful practice to be doing that with. But also noticing, not only is it Anicca in that it's just like on a glass, it just, oh, it's here and it's gone. It doesn't leave an impression. It actually does leave an impression, like a footprint in the sand, which takes some time to disappear, right? So also that tells us something interesting about what is a perception, right? And if I continue holding to the sense that there is a something here and it's got my interest, but it might not actually be leaving new sensory data, I can't tell the difference between its presence and its absence for as long as I'm looking for it sometimes, right? So that's kind of quite interesting. But also, the fly does not exist independent of the perceiver of the fly, which means that we can get built up in terms of our reactivity to it. So even if we're lessening our reactivity, there's still a reactivity to it. There has to be some degree of reactivity for there to be an impression in awareness. And that activity needs to take some time to cool down. For example, you get angry about something and you get fired up, the heartbeat goes, the blood pressure's going, and then you realize, oh no, I made a mistake. You know, there's this story of like the empty boats. You know, you're floating in an empty boat and it's on the lake, and then you hit another boat and you think,
you're not in an empty boat.
Yeah. So you're in a boat that's empty apart from you, and then you hit another boat and you're imagining there's someone in that boat and they've been clumsy and gone into you. And you get up and you go to shout at them and you realize the boat is empty. There's nobody in that boat. There's nobody to shout to. You're like, oh, just, you know, whatever, it's just here. But that reactivity will take some time to pass. We're, you know, a bag of chemicals as well as many other beautiful things. And it takes some time for that to flush through the system, right? So just understanding that we don't need to be angry isn't going to take us out of anger in a moment. Noticing we don't need to be reactive isn't going to take us out of that reactivity. But paying close attention, we will notice anicca doesn't just mean impermanent, it was here and then it's not. It means that even while it's here, it's changing. And if it's changing while it's here, we actually want to understand it is dependently here. It's depending on how I'm reacting to the reactivity, which actually is causing more or less reactivity. And so this is one of the places, I'm going to open out this one more doorway here, which is to say, anicca is actually not an ultimate truth, but actually something that we can see that shapes how we relate, and then it allows things to become more anicca, or if we react in another way, they become less anicca, they last for longer. And so the Buddha would say, such is its arising, such is its passing, this vedana, this perception, this whatever. Such means because of the demanding, because of the reactivity, because of the contraction, such is its arising, such is its passing. And it's an invitation to participate, not to just say, oh, it's all anicca. How did it become anicca? And if that anicca feels good, how could it be more anicca? Yeah, lovely question, Johnny.
So I think Ziv, and then we'll do, we have one in writing also that I'll get to after that. Ken Mata. So I'll repeat the question in English and then I'll answer it in Hebrew. Noticing a certain pattern that when practice deepens, I'm sorry, this keeps booming, I'm hearing it now. Practice deepens, even for a brief moment, you can still hear me or not anymore? Yeah? Okay, great.
practice deepens even for a brief moment or however long, then the rest of the day is spent wanting to get back to that experience of deepening, of quietness, of well-being. And there's a sense there that that depth, that quietness, that well-being is the real deal, is the real thing. And what is happening now is not. Yeah? Did I get it? Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, what do we do? Or... Okay, yeah, so am I actually moving in the right direction, or am I actually moving to Dukkhaville with this, like, one step forward, three steps back? Mm. Yeah, great question. Yes. Another great question.
As kodem kol agid sheaderech shelanu ilo bechach linearit. כן, אז הדבר הזה של צעד קדימה, כאילו, כן, צעד קדימה, שלושה צעדים אחורה, הוא קורה הרבה פעמים, וזה חלק, אפשר לראות את זה יותר כריקוד, מאשר כאיזשהו מסע לינארי של להגיע מהנקודה הזאת לנקודה אחרת. כן, אז הרבה פעמים זה חלק מהתרגול שלנו, זה חלק מהמסע שלנו ומהדרך. יש כאן תובנה משמעותית של לראות את התפיסה, כן? שהיא בעצם, אפשר להגיד הרבה פעמים, מה שלוקח אותנו לדרך לדוקוויל ולא ממנה. כן? התפיסה שמתגנבת לשם, באה ואומרת, שמה, כן? בחוויה הזאת שיש לה משמעות והיא מעניינת והיא מרגשת, אבל זה שם, ואם זה שם, אז זה לא פה. כן? ויוצרת את המתח הזה. כן? את המתח הזה שאז אנחנו ככה, המיקוד שלנו הוא לקפוץ לשם, להגיע לשם, כן? אבל הדרך לשם מתחילה מכאן. כן? אפשר להזכיר לעצמנו, הדרך לשם מתחילה מכאן, והשם הוא גם כאן. כן? הוא לא באמת במקום אחר, כמו שנדמה לנו. כן? זה באמת התפיסה, ככה, לראות את המשחק של התפיסה הוא מאוד משמעותי כאן. לא באמת במקום אחר, ולפעמים רק ההיזכרות, כן, להגיד לעצמי. זה בעצם גם כאן, בדיוק דיברנו על זה היום בבוקר. זה בעצם כאן, רק אני לא שומע את זה, או אני לא רואה את זה, או אני לא מריח את זה. Following?
כן.
Yeah. זה בעצם כבר כאן. וכשאני זוכרת שזה בעצם כבר כאן, הרפיה, כן? כמה שאפשר להרפות, לרכך, להתרווח, כן? להביא איכויות שתומכות, הכרת תודה תומכת, מטה תומכת, ענווה תומכת, כן? משהו שאומר, אוקיי, אני כאן וזה בסדר, כן? כי כאן, עכשיו, כאן, זה המקום שלי. כן? חמלה, לדוקה, כן? תומכת, ואמון. כן? הייתי שם? כן, המקום הזה נוכח עבורי, זה אומר שהוא נגיש גם עכשיו. כל מיני תנאים ונסיבות מבנים את הנגישות שלו, אבל הוא לא באמת נעלם. הוא לא באמת במקום אחר. אז לא הייתי אומרת שאתה בדרך הלא נכונה. זה פשוט ככה, ככה דורש מכולנו כל מיני תזכורות, כן? התזכורות האלה שלא זה כאן, כן? ומה... יעזור לי, מה יתמוך בי, על מה אפשר להישען ולהתמך על מנת לפגוש את זה שוב. ובו זמנית להחזיק את המקום הזה שגם כאן זה בסדר גמור, זה לא רק בחוויות האלה, כן? אלא בתובנות שלנו, בדרך שלנו, שהעומק האמיתי באמת קורה.
Do you want to add anything?
No, only timing. sensitive.
Don't try to understand Nathan, that will get you in a real tangle.
I think that's a compliment.
It is. Okay. אז אני רוצה להתייחס לשאלה הזאת שהגיע בכתב. I'll translate it. If pain or suffering are part of the human condition, is the whole of our practice about the second arrow? Is there a way to free ourselves from pain and suffering? Or is liberation, freedom, accepting that it is here and it will also pass in its time? And I'm gonna, maybe I'll read it in Hebrew as well. אם כאב וסבל קיים בחוויה האנושית, האם כל התרגול בעצם הוא על החץ השני? האם יש דרך להשתחרר מסבל או כאב, או שהשחרור בעצם לקבל שזה קיים וגם יחלוף? וגם יחלוף. Do you want to go or shall I?
Is it better to answer it in Hebrew?
Okay.
Okay, let's do that then.
As יש יש מקומות בסוטות שמוזכר בהם שהבודה סובל מכאב גב. ויש מקומות אחרים שבהם לקראת סוף חייו הוא עומד וצופה בסנגה, בכל קהילת הנזרים והנזירות, והוא אומר לחבר שלו, בן דוד שלו, והמלווה שלו, מי שהיה איתו כל הדרך, אננדה, אומר לו, הסנגה ריקה. הסנגה ריקה, כי שני החברים הקרובים שלו הלכו לעולמם, והוא מביע את התחושה שהם חסרים לו. הוא מביע תחושה של אבל, של אובדן. ואני חושבת שהמקומות האלה מאוד מעניינים בהקשר של השאלה הזאת. מה זה חופש מדוקה? מה זה חופש מדוקה? וזו שאלה שהיא משמעותית עבורנו. היא משמעותית עבורנו, כי האופן שבו אנחנו נבין דוקה ונבין חופש מדוקה, זה גם האופן שבו החופש שלנו יראה. ככה זה. ומצד שני, זה לא שאלות פשוטות, זה לא שאלות שכאילו, אני אחשוב עליהן יום או ריטריט או שנה, וכאילו, תהיה לי תשובה ברורה וסופית. יש בעצם ההוויה האנושית, הקיום האנושי, כן? מעצם זה שיש לנו גוף, כן? אז נדע כאב פיזי, כן? נדע הזדקנות, כן? נדע מחלה. נדע את כל הדברים האלה, מעצם זה שיש לנו גוף אנושי. ויחד עם זה, כן, ועצם זה שיש לנו לב, תודעה אנושית, נדע צער, כן, נדע עצב, כן, נדע געגוע, נדע אובדן, כן, אלו איכויות של הקיום שלנו. כן, ואנחנו לא באמת בניסיון להיפטר מהם. ועם זאת, השאלה הזאת, מה, האם, כן, האם כל הדרך היא על החץ השני, הרבה מהדרך היא על החץ השני, אבל לא הכל. ואיך נראה שחרור מדוקה? אז אני ככה הזכרתי את זה, כבר לא זוכרת באיזה קונטקסט אתמול. לפעמים ככה אפשר לראות שיכול להיות כאב בחוויה שלנו עם פחות בעייתיות. עם פחות תחושה של בעייתיות. יש כאב של הלב ושל הגוף, אבל אין את הקיבוץ שמסביבו. זה מתחבר גם לתרגול של היום. זה עוד תופעה, ויש לה מקום. ויש לה גם מענה שמשתנה בהתאם לתנאים. לפעמים צריך לטפל בכאב בגוף, כי הוא מסמן לנו משהו. אז הבודה, כשכואב לו הגב, לפעמים הוא הולך לנוח. כתוב ככה. כואב לו הגב, אז הוא הולך לשכב. כן? זה כתוב ככה. כי יש לו גוף אנושי. ולפעמים יש כאב או צער בלב וצריך לטפל בו. אז אנחנו רואות שזה תופעה ואנחנו רואות את הריקות, וככה זה צד אחד של ההסתכלות שלנו והחוויה שלנו, ואנחנו גם רואות איפה נדרש מענה לפעמים, וזה גם וגם. זה גם עוד מופע של הריקות כאן. וגם וגם. אבל הייתי אומרת שהרבה מאוד מהשחרור, או החופש, מדוקה, זה שחרור, החופש מהקיבוץ ומהצמצום של התגובתיות. זה כן קשור לחץ השני. אז התשובה כאן לשאלה היא גם וגם, הרבה מאוד החץ השני. וגם הטיפוח, כן, של האיכויות האחרות וההיזכרות של המענה. נכון והמיטיב, ואולי אני רק אגיד עוד דבר, וואו. אמרת את הזמן. גם ציטטתי את זה בריטריט הזה, הדלאי למה, אחד הציטוטים האהובים עליי, ששואלים אותו, שאלו אותו אם הוא חווה רגשות קשים, או מה שנקרא רגשות שליליים, כעס, כאב, תסכול, וכמובן שהוא צוחק בתשובה, כי הוא הדלאי למה, והוא צוחק כמעט כל הזמן, הוא צוחק בתשובה, והוא אומר, בטח, אבל מה? זה כמו לכתוב על מים. כמו לכתוב עם האצבע על מים. זה מופיע וזה נעלם. אז אנחנו לא נאחזות בזה, ואז יש מקום לדברים האלה לעלות, אבל גם להיעלם. כמו שאנחנו יודעים ויודעות היום, למשל על רגש כמו כעס, אנחנו יודעות את זה מהעולם של הפסיכולוגיה ומדע המוח, הוא בעצם נוכח 5 שניות. כן? רגש חזק עולה, הוא בעצם נוכח 5 שניות, אבל בגלל האופן שבו אנחנו תופסות בו, נאחזות בו וחוזרות עליו, הוא יכול לנכוח כל החיים. אז ככה, אני מקווה שזה עונה, זו שאלה שככה, כמו רוב השאלות שנשאלות בו, כל השאלות שנשאלות, להישאר איתה. להישאר איתה, לא רק להסתפק בתשובה שלנו. להמשיך ולשאול אותה, מה ההבנה שלי של דוקה, מה ההבנה שלי של חופש מדוקה.
So, yes. You included that the Buddha also taught about a respite from all contact as well, or...
I didn't. Do you want to add that?
Okay. So, yeah, like, another aspect to this is that, you know, this Nibbana that the Buddha is talking about is also a space that is free from pain, but it's also free from everything. It's not an experience. And he did recommend having that... a bit like maybe like a weekend break away from material reality, you know, like a tasted experience. And you might think to yourself, well, why? One is it feels very good, very nourishing, very beautiful, and supports us to come back into the world with less reactivity. In a sense, we can also get to this understanding that everything is fabricated by actually just paying attention to the everyday experience of a person who is experiencing pain and pleasure and things coming and going. We normally think about the teachings leading up, there's a Vedana, that reactivity leads to the push and the pull, and we fade that kind of push and pull. But what we're also experimenting with today is a little bit that if there's not the push and the pull, that thing that we contact starts to fade. And so what we're actually seeing is it's actually maybe the other way around. Vedana is dependent on the demanding. If there's no demanding, there's no contact. If there's no contact, then what's the Vedana on? And these things, if that makes any sense at all, you'll actually see that, okay, Vedana, Tanha, they are empty, depending on each other to create the conditions for the contact so that then they can actually get this whole thing going. What's this whole thing resting on? Nothing. Two things leaning against each other. That can't be. You know, you get some kind of quantum mechanical sense of, okay, so reality is not what I thought it was. even these teachings, not what I thought it was. But this is a helpful way of viewing. Ah, there's contact, there's Vedana, there's building. Let's not build. Let's not build. And then when we don't build, there's no contact. There's no Vedana. The whole thing can't get going again. But don't worry, it'll come along. It'll say, this sense of nothing, I think it's a little bit like this, and the self builds, everything just kind of comes back into being. Yeah. But then once you come back into being, there will be pleasure and pain. There will be things coming and going. We will be touched. We'll be emotional beings, like what Zar was expressing. Okay, so we got to almost 11:05, which, you know, might be a full tank of talking for many of us. So feel free to take out and have some walking, and we'll have another question, please. Yeah. Great. So the kind of a two-part question, I'll repeat it. Or yeah. Did you want to repeat in Hebrew?
No, you can repeat just a list and reminder that we need to keep it short. Yeah. And keep to the things that are relevant to him.
Yeah. So, you know, with the practice, you're kind of noticing when I experience the fabricated nature of something like a retreat, I see that it is dependent on me clustering it together underneath this label retreat, but I don't actually create all the conditions that are clustered together. And so the first point that I would say back to you about that is that, yes, that's entirely true, but it's that clustering together that we're bringing a question to. Does retreat really exist? Right? And so it's good to come on retreats. We want you to come on retreats. Meditation practice is good. Paying attention to a breath, they're all good. But when we really look at them, we realize this doesn't actually stand up to analysis. You know, we said the other day when we were kind of talking about, is it awareness, is it mind, is it consciousness, is it knowing, is it, you know, it's like these distinctions do not stand up against analysis. When you start looking, it's like, I don't know. What we're looking for is letting go of the things which are problematic. Yeah? And so at a certain point, it might be problematic for us to create a label around something and hold it together and actually see, no, this is much subtler, much more dynamic, much different than what I think it is. And that can be really helpful. The perception of interbeing, interdependence, and, you know, wanting to support those kinds of things is also an important perception to have. The second thing about the energy body, which is the energy body is a subtle perception of the physical body. You know, how do we feel that we have an emotion or a dukkha or anything? We feel it in the energetics within this body, right? We don't imagine that certain organs have started to move around or it's not that, but we feel like, oh, I feel really tight here, you know, and it's not like I should get an injection there, you know. It's that this needs to be related to in a way so that it's kind of supported. So the energy body is a fabrication, yeah? But it's a skillful fabrication, I would say, because it's more subtle than the physical thing that we might see as, and it gives us the freedom to relate on that level and to free ourselves from blockages that kind of appear energetically for ourselves. Does it or does it not relate to energy healings and all the rest? Maybe not, maybe yes. No idea. But yeah. You can explore. Okay. Yeah.
Well, for perception, I don't feel like I have a clear perception of what that is. Can you give an example of something which is not the perception or something that appears like not perception but it actually is? Maybe the answer is no.
Yeah. So the question is, still trying to get this kind of definition of what is a perception, and wondering if we could give an example of something that's not a perception so that we can perceive it and get that definition of perception clear as like what's actually the boundary of perception. And you were right, yeah, the answer is no. There's no thing that can be described that is not a perception. There's no thing that can be defined that is not a perception. Perception is anything, everything that we perceive are percepts. We perceive percepts. That's the correct language.
What would come with contact if the perception?
Yes.
If there's no perception, what do we come into contact with?
Yeah.
Mm. Nothing. Yeah. We wouldn't come into contact with anything. There would be no perception, there would be no experience. And so that's why Nibbana is described as not a perception, beyond perception, not an experience. It has none of the characteristics of an experience.
And it's and you know, the question, that question of like, what is not a not perception? Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question. I know you're asking it because you want to understand through it what a perception is. It's interesting, but it's very much beyond our perception.
Nirvana is not a perception, yes. Mm. Any experience is a perception. I hope that can help.
I mean, also when we're in deep sleep, there's no perception. That's another one.
I think there's actually a perception of time that we're not present with, because when you wake up from it, you have a sense of how long you've been doing it.
Okay, very subtle perception.
Some perception, awareness, time.
But you were defining it quite well there, you know, like what perception was. It's like when, you know, whatever we come into contact with and that we know is being, you know, is being perceived. Yeah?
It's not all.
This is great. What else is there?
I don't know. Maybe it builds on our perceptions. But
yes.
There's still like playing here. We're talking about dependencies. Something is dependent on something else. It's not just one block of perception. That's what I don't know. There's some movement here.
Okay. So the question is that it feels that perception relies on other things that are supporting that perception to be there. And that's what I would then say is, yes, you're right. Look at that. All of these perceptions, all of these experiences are dependently coming into being, and they depend on things which are not being perceived in that moment as being there, but they are there in some way. How can they be there? How did they carry themselves from not the present moment into the present moment to be affecting this perception? Whatever they are doing here, energetically or conceptually, they're part of that perception in this present moment.
Can you give some examples to make it clearer of these things?
Yeah, so, I mean, this perception now, I can hear, I think it's young kids on a quad bike playing a radio. I don't know, might be, might not be. So that perception, to think that it's that, relies on a memory of having seen those things, having an understanding of who's most likely to drive it in what sounds like a reckless way, you know, and that there also seems to be some kind of something, I was going to say, like what someone might call music. So there's a lot of judgments and everything coming into that perception. That's the perception that I'm having. And within that perception, there's also my quite obvious for us reactivity to it. And that Vedana is in it. That's all of that is my experience in that moment, was that experience in that moment. Now my experience, my perception in that moment is the explaining the memory of that thing. You start to slice down what actually is a moment of perception, and you'll see that actually it can't have any moment and it can't have any connection to prior moments in a really reliable and sustainable way, which then starts to deepen our questioning of, like, what exactly is this thing called a perception? So in a sense, your question, what is a perception? The answer is yes. Keep asking that question.
Yeah. Keep asking it without holding too tightly to figuring it out. That's always, like, you know, really helpful. You know, it's a good question. Keep asking it, but we don't too much to figure it out. Yeah.
Do you know there's a nice fun quote from Richard Feynman, the mathematician? He said, "I would rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned." And perception is one of those, you know.
Okay, we have, talking of questions, two more, Alicia,
yes.
And what that I can see. So,
is that Alicia? Yeah. As you like.
וגם לפעמים משתמשים בבודהיזם כדי להגיד טוב, צריכים להשיל את כל תחושת המגדר ואז הכל יהיה סבבה, או שהוא דרך
כפרנסיה. אז השאלה היא שאלה מאוד חשובה, והמוח שלי צריך ללכת יותר לאט ממה שהוא מנסה כרגע. תזכיר לי איפה זה התחיל, אני צריכה את החוט של ההתחלה ואז אני אזכור.
יש שם שתי שאלות בעצם.
כן.
אחת לגבי, אתם לא יכולים להגדיר, איך אתם, אי אפשר להגדיר אישה, זה לא קיים.
כן.
והשני זה צריך להשאיר את תחושת מגדר ואז יש שחרור ואז כאילו...
כן, לגבי בעצם העובדה שדברים מובנים ואז איך הריקות והידיעה הזאת שדברים מובנים, איך היא פוגשת, אני עושה פרפרזה כאן, שהיא קצת גם מתחילה את התשובה, איך היא פוגשת את התחומים בחיים שלנו שצריכים את ההתייחסות שלנו, כן? כי אנחנו חיות גם בעולם הזה של התובנות העמוקות, אבל אנחנו גם חיות אחת עם השנייה ועם עצמנו באופן שדורש מענה, כן, לשאלות מסוימות. והדוגמאות שניתנו פה זה שלפעמים בנושא של הגדרת, של מגדר והגדרת מגדר, אז יש שאלות כאלה שאומרות, למשל, כאילו, איך אפשר להגדיר אישה? כאילו, איך נגדיר אישה ומפרקים את זה, מפרקים את זה, מפרקים ואומרים שמה, שאין דבר כזה?
כאילו, שהדרך להגדיר אישה זה בעצם דרך
מגדר. כן, שהדרך להגדיר אישה היא מסוימת, היא דרך הגוף, וכל הגדרה אחרת היא לא רלוונטית. או כיוון אחר שיכול לבוא זה ש... להגיד ש... פשוט תעזבו, כאילו, זה לא מועיל, זה לא מיטיב לנסות להגדיר דברים בצורה מסוימת, אז פשוט let it go, כזה, כן? של שמיטה. נכון? זה השאלות. כן. זה נוגע בדברים שככה... עולים מדי פעם כאן. אני חושבת שכן חשוב לזכור, ונייתן גם הזכיר את זה, נתן איזה דוגמה עם פמיניזם לדעתי באחת השיחות שלו. אנחנו חיות וחיים בתוך העולם, ובעולם אנחנו חיות במגע עם עצמנו, במגע עם אחרים ואחרות, ביחסים אחרים עם אחרים ואחרות. התרגולים והתובנות גם של מטה וגם של ריקות בהבנה שלי, אני עונה מאוד מאוד בקצרה, יגידו חשוב להתייחס לשאלות החברתיות, הפוליטיות, האקולוגיות, שעולות עבורנו, כן, של הגדרה עצמית, כל הדברים האלה חשוב שנתייחס אליהם, חשוב שנכלול אותם, ואנחנו עושות את זה גם תוך החזקה של מורכבות, כאילו הייתי אומרת, הריקות כאן עוזרת לנו להכיל מורכבות, כן, שדורשת את תשומת הלב שלנו. אז אני בטח לא עונה ב-100%, אבל אני הייתי אומרת שכאילו כל דבר שמגדיר משהו באופן שפוסל, כן, חוויה של מישהו, מישהי אחרת, לא מאוד מיטיב. כן? לא מאוד מיטיב. לא מאוד מיטיב. ולכן המקום הזה של המיטיב והלא מיטיב יכול מאוד לעזור לנו לכוון. כן? ואנחנו יכולות להשתמש גם עם עצמנו, דרך אגב, להגיד לעצמנו, הייתה שאלה על רגשות אתמול או שלשום, להגיד לעצמנו, אני צריכה פשוט לשחרר את הרגש הזה, כן? אם הייתי, זה לא אני, זה לא עצמי, ואני פשוט אשחרר אותו, כשזה בעצם דורש את ההתייחסות שלי ודורש מענה אחר. והריקות והמטה יגידו לנו, לא, אין דרך אחת, כן? שהיא תמיד נכונה, זה תלוי בתנאים ובנסיבות, כן? אז זה אומר, כן, צריך החיים פחות אולי פשוטים מבחינה אחת, כי הם לא באבסולוטיות, כן? אבל האפשרות לענות היא הרבה יותר גדולה. האפשרות לחיות בטוב היא הרבה הרבה יותר גדולה. שמחה. כן.
Lovely. So the question is, are there facts that are in some way separate from perception, or is there only perception, and it really depends how I'm perceiving whether or not this thing appears this way and could be called a fact or not. So ultimately,
can we just stop and just say it's 11:20?
Yeah.
So just bear it in mind. We're going to answer this question, but if you need more time, then we'll be left before the meditation take it.
So ultimately, for example, you use the example of breathing. And sometimes we're breathing and we're not perceiving it. And we might want to be feeling that I'm still breathing even though I'm not noticing it. One of the interesting things for a non-meditator, they may have never actually been with an entire breath from beginning to end, all the way through with any real sensitivity, to have confirmed for themselves that they are actually breathing. They perhaps know that they're breathing, or have been told that they're breathing, or have noticed at a certain point that they are breathing, like when they try and swim underwater, they go, oh yeah, there's something wrong here, I need to get back on the surface. So in that moment that we perceive it, we know that we are breathing. Does it matter that it's happening at other times or not to us? But, you know, is it a problem? Is it dukkha? And we might say, well, no, not really. But interestingly, we can take something like a moment of breathing. And, you know, it appears to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, which means it depends on multiple moments for it to exist. But in any moment, there is only the present moment that exists. And if there's only the present moment, then a thing can't move in the present moment. A thing can't move in the present. It needs more than one moment to have movement. But in this moment, there's only the memory of the past and the imagination of the future that actually gives me the sense that there is such a thing as a breath. In the direct perception of it, there is no such thing as a breath. And even that can actually be quite liberating, to actually say, this thing that I imagine is a breath depends on me thinking about the past and thinking about the future. But there's only the present moment. And in the present moment, there isn't a breath. In many moments, there is a breath. It's like, oh, I can see it two ways. And that might become really significant, that what we train on the breath then becomes something I can see in other ways. You know, we might find it very oppressive, certain things that are going on in our experience, and we might just need to be able to break them down into smaller, doable chunks, and we can do that. And if we want to go super, super subtle, we'll see that even this, what I think is one moment of the breath, is actually also made up of many moments. I'm still sensing there's something going on here, and I can go in, and I can go in, go in, go in. But what I ultimately find is that there is neither one nor many moments that make up a breath. And that's another way to enter or entertain an emptiness perspective. It's all pliable, fluid perceptions. But between us, we should have agreeable facts. But that doesn't make them reality perceptions. Right? That just makes them more perceptions. You know, doesn't make them ultimately real. Even if we all agree we are sitting in this hall together and it's 11:24, still doesn't make it true. Still a perception. Mm. Yeah.
And we use them, and we use that knowledge skillfully. Yeah. So if you're on the road and you're driving, it's skillful to have the perception that, you know,
life is precious.
Yeah. It's skillful to have the perception that you're in a car and there's other cars and you don't want to make contact with each other. Yeah. These are skillful, yeah. Skillful perceptions. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the play. Yeah. This is the play of this. It's not, and it's why kind of Nathan said several times in the talk yesterday, right? He said, you know, you're perceiving this as reality, and it's helpful that that's happening, you know, most of the time or some of the time. Yeah, it's not wrong that we're perceiving it that way, but there's more. Yeah. At least four truths, and the fifth, it's 11:26. We certainly need a break.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Thank you. Tanda.